Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot glass. Listen to the podcast, it's all up in your mom's ass. Big J kills them like O.J. Simpson. A quick, if the fingerless glove don't fit, get break quick by that big dick Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Or get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. And natural born killers, legion of skanks.
Welcome to the Clash!
Jay, how was Shiprooked?
It was good.
Oh, yeah. Did you have a nice short cruise?
Yeah, I did 2.5 days. But then,
and that was also the headlining band.
Yeah. And then,
that was good.
There was a band. There's a band called 10 Years. Same thing.
It's been 2.5 days.
Are you guys ready for 2.5 days?
Oh, dude, we were having, me and Butterly and Fenoy were having so much fun, like laughing, though, just making up names. Like, well, in a second, I have to go see Strangled by the Void. It's like, oh, just names of fucking. And then when I was just going through all of them, I went, I faggot. I think I faggot's on the Lido deck.
Oh, shit. Very
funny. It was, I didn't see many bands. POD. POD still got it. What was awesome was they
never had it, Jay.
POD, I performed his ass off.
He has to. He's in POD. Yeah. He better.
I mean, they're in their element though on this thing, you know.
Of course.
So, like,
did you like that one band I showed you?
Who was it?
The
Hollywood Undead.
Slipknot rappers.
Hollywood Undead. Unfortunately, I didn't get to see them perform. Nice guys, though. I'll tell you what, man, that is a pretty neat thing watching, like, how long we've been doing comedy for.
Yeah.
I've been doing it a little bit longer than you guys, but you guys have been doing it a long time also. And I'm blown away, especially my show. They put me this year. This is pretty cool. They put me in the big theater this year.
Ooh.
So I had like a real show, like, in a fucking, it was awesome in that regard. And then the other show was in like a kind of the equivalent of the place we used to do the Spinnaker Lounge on the Norwegian Pearl.
Yeah.
Kind of like the low ceiling place. That was where the second show was, and that was packed out too. It was like it's awesome the way they like they treated us on there. It was pretty cool. But like
I love that thing that you said, like, we've been doing comedy so long. The problem is like when it happens over the span of 20 years and when you're still not doing that well, sometimes you're just like, you're almost just like, wait a minute, did I get bigger or have you guys just fallen off? Like, what happened here?
But I get, but that's what's really neat is like watching, and this was kind of like bound to happen, I guess, just in the world of entertainment. How many newer, younger bands, including like Hollywood Undead, like no Legion of Skanks. They know who we are. Do you know what I mean?
Hollywood Undead knows us?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hollywood Undead?
They said they've been fans for a long time. Who else? They listen. Who else says another band, Natives,
Native Americans.
No,
oh, we love American. The Legion of Skanks.
No, they're called Native something. Oh, Native Howl, our band, huge Skanks fans.
Sick.
They were coming up, so it was pretty.
I wanted to do 10 more minutes on Native Americans love Legion of Skanks.
Yes,
we finally forgive you for stealing Manhattan.
Put your ear to the ground, nigger, nigger, nigger.
Me realize not current white man's fault.
That's hilarious. They forgive the white man because of us.
Me,
the white man, not so bad actually.
Me realize not all bad.
I mean, at first I didn't care for that Lewis guy so much, but he really grows on you. You know what I mean?
They call that the Lewis cycle.
By like third or fourth moon,
you have to hang. You have to hang from your tit meat. From
I know, like Lewis.
Until you realize
several
you're like Lewis.
Moons later, I was thinking, "Where's that Lewis guy?"
Yeah. Now I want Lewis.
I hated him on the show, but when he's not there, it just doesn't feel the same.
That's great. I'll tell you what was getting off Shiprocked was a fucking whole thing. It was
one of those London mini boats. They dropped it down from the side.
Yeah, I wish. No, they fucking, it was like
an escape pod.
So I was getting off when everyone gets off in St. Thomas. I'm going to get off there and fly. You think that would just be like, let them know you're leaving, get off and fly. I had to go like check out at like 8 in the morning. I just had to go check out, but then they were saying I'd have to get off the boat then, but then they changed it so I didn't have to get off the boat until 2 o'clock. Then there's a confusing thing where the time on the boat is different from the time on the shore, like on land.
Oh, really?
But,
really?
So we got off and it was fine, though. That wasn't so bad. Then we got to the airport, go to the airport, check in. They go, once you walk in the doors, you can't come back out of the airport. Mean? Like you're stuck in the airport. And this airport is literally like a coffee place and gates.
Like you can't let's say your flight gets delayed. You can't go smoke a cigarette and then recheck your bags.
Nope. No.
Which I've done before. I mean, I've been on delays and I've left the airport and gone to the gym. Chicago, there's a gym attached. Not anymore. They closed it down. But there's a gym attached. And I had a delay for like 3 hours. And I just left, went to the gym, worked out, showered, came back.
Everything. Well, this was... this is when you're in the door. Yeah, you couldn't come back out because it's customs is the issue.
Oh.
So...
you were in costumes? Right.
Yeah, I was in customs. They didn't like. They said Chun-Li is not allowed back in the States. And I was like, what? With my fucking power bracelets.
I'm sorry, sir. No, Winnie the Pooh cannot go smoke a cigarette and dick around for a few minutes.
But I took all this time to just wear a shirt and no pants. So they go, you can't go in. So then they kept, I'm sitting outside for a little bit. With Fenoy. Then they kept fucking like delaying. It was one of those moves. They're delaying the flight. Another half hour. So then I was like, at one point we had like 3 hours. So I'm like, yo, there's a hotel's attached to this airport. So I go, I'm just going to get a hotel room for us. And like, we'll go, me and Fenoy will just sit there, watch a movie or something and just dick around. The cab system in St. Thomas or Ubers, it doesn't exist at all. So, they go, yeah, but it's a 5-minute walk to the airport. But I have like all my bags. And so I was like, all right, it's uphill. It's only about like a third of a mile, but straight uphill and steps and everything like that. No elevator. So like I get to the hotel. This is something you guys could appreciate as at least former smokers even. I realized when I got to the airport, I realized I didn't have a fucking lighter. I don't know how I left all 4 of my lighters on the boat, but I did. And I had
it's a problem when those bands start doing their fucking slow songs. Jay's like, yeah, do you know what? We all gotta have lighters.
I know. Everybody take a lighter. So I didn't have a light. So now I'm like in a obviously way too bad of a mood about that particular situation.
So funny how that'll just literally ruin your fucking whole day. Then you start asking people aggressively for lighters. I've been here so many times when I'm smoking weed. It's only been a couple months that I haven't smoked weed.
Offered a guy like, $20 to give me to sell me one of his lighters.
But being outside of a hotel, and like people just don't really smoke anymore. So like I get all like huffy and puffy. I was like, hey, you got a lighter? I was like, dude, what do you do? Like, don't come at me for a lighter with that energy. It's no fault of their own. It's literally.
Well, I'm better than you at making the initial approach polite. It's the fall apart. They go, I go, hey, I'm sorry, do you guys happen to have a lighter by a chance? And they're like, nah, I don't smoke. Of course.
Well, no, that's the initial approach for the first 3 or 4 people is exactly friendly as hell. But I'm on person 5. I'm like, why does nobody smoke in this town? Are you guys not cool?
I mean, this guy was like, $20 for your lighter. He goes, he's like, nah, it's the only one I got. I go, $20. Like, I couldn't believe it. So then we walk to this hotel. We get there. The check-in process is what? There is one other person, an old couple in this lobby checking in, and another couple that's like sitting in the lobby. I guess they've already been handled. They're waiting for their room. This lady, we tried calling the place first to get a reservation to get in there. And then when I got there, she was like, I'm sorry, I just need a few minutes here. And for nothing, there is nothing going on in this lobby for this essentially motel that they're like, it's the slowest possible thing at all. They are not giving a fuck. And then when I got to
Jay doesn't want to go to Jamaica because that is the energy of all of the islands.
Oh,
I
bet. When I go to this lady at one point, I go, hey, I tried to call for a while and I just wanted to get a room. And she goes, oh, she goes, I know, I'm sorry. And she literally does this. Like this, like it's like, well, I mean, but look at what I'm dealing with. And you're like, there's nobody here.
She's like, hey, man.
You're like, What are you seeing?
Yeah, I'm like, exactly, the ghosts of old people who have died there. Because it's
I have to watch the clock a little bit.
So then finally, I get a room. We go up to the room. In the hall, the hallways are, I mean, blazingly loud with the sounds of island black women who work there. It's the staff. Staff doesn't give a shit. They're so fucking loud and obnoxious. So we sit there for 3 hours, watch the P. Diddy documentary, and then we're sitting there. It was all right. Nothing really new, but they really do put it together nice.
Jay, maybe if everyone's acting that way, you're the problem.
Maybe
you need to acclimate to the island.
Well, then I said,
"Why you in such a rush, white boy?"
So we've been moving.
Your flight done been delayed.
We've been moving since 8 a.m. or whatever, right? 8 a.m. And now it's like, 4 something. Our flight's been moved to 8 o'clock at night. And so.
So you're not even staying overnight. You just literally got a hotel to chill.
Just to chill to our flight, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was hours. It was like 4 hours at that point. And we get there. Then we get there and we're like, hey, I go, is there a restaurant attached to this hotel or anything so we can get some food? And they're like, nah, there's no restaurant. The closest place.
That sure would be convenient, but no.
They go. Oh, so then I get it. Then I'm outside. Now I'm just like, I'm livid, also accepting of the situation. So I'm not really like being shitty at all. I'm just like head shakingly, like at a loss. And I'm going outside of this hotel and I'm asking people for lighters. No one's got a lighter. Nobody. Then a guy comes up. I ask him if he has a lighter. It's just, definitely a guy from the islands. Black guy, heavy accent. He goes, I was like, hey, you have a lighter? He's like, no, sorry. He goes, if you had a lighter right now, I would give you $20 for that lighter. And he goes, I'll go to the store. And he goes, yeah, you want to come? I go, no, I'll wait here. But dude, if you come back with two lighters, dude, I'll give you $20.
And that was two lighters. Good move, Jay.
He goes, hey, we just got down to $10 a lighter, man.
So he goes, absolutely.
Fuck.
he goes, and I'm like, I don't. This guy, maybe he'll come back. I mean, I didn't give him money.
Dude, I just say I've been there so many times before. Just growing up. Smoking cigarettes and being a weed head and all of that, like, would you just like, well, my entire faith is in this random person now, and you're just like, God, I really hope he comes through.
But he has no shoes on. He's wearing fucking a New York Knicks jersey and ketchup.
Well, the lesson learned for sure from me that I've learned through time is do not give the money first. So no, I did not give money.
Yes.
So he came back with two lighters. I was gonna give him $40, and then one of the lighters didn't work, so I gave him $20.
All right.
And so I have the lighter. Now we're in there waiting. The flight actually moves like another half hour or so. But I'm like, is there a restaurant? Is there a no? Closest place to eat's like 20 minutes away. Like, all right, was anywhere that delivers? Anywhere. And she goes, I'm sorry, it's only one place.
She's like, if you would like, you can catch one of the chickens that are rolling around the airport.
She goes, there's a Domino's. And I was like, ugh. So I go to Fanoa. I'm like, Mikey, care if it's Domino's, dude? Just get a pizza to fucking, I mean, this is it. So
these are literally first world problems.
Oh, I know. But these things are so funny. They this is a third world problem. this is a technical third world problem.
Island of people that, you know, they're all fucking probably malnourished and poor. And Jay's like, oh,
St. Thomas. Nah.
Probably.
So it's Virgin Islands. It's fine.
I think there's some poverty amongst the locals.
I'm sure there is poverty, but I mean, like, there's also a lot of people I'm sure they're fine. Whatever. Either way, they said Domino's delivers. I was like, great, we'll make Domino's work. I called Domino's. They're like, hello, Domino's. And I'm like, hey, do you deliver? And they went, no. And I went, you don't deliver?
Domino's.
And I was like, I said, you're Domino's. They went, yes. And I went, no, I know you are Domino's, but I'm saying, the Domino's pizza structure is based off of delivery.
You're trying to explain it to them.
Yeah. It's like the whole thing was 30 minutes or less. The Noid would bring it. You guys are fixing roads. It's like this is Domino's is solely. No one goes out for a night at Domino's. And I was like,
put your highfalutin attitude, white boy.
She goes,
What restaurant did you go to last night? No one goes, Domino's.
Oh, was it your birthday? So no food. I got a small. I got a
Domino
small
food.
Domino food. So we went to. I got a small bag of Cool Ranch Doritos from the, from a vending machine, and then we waited and got on the fucking plane. Finally got home at like midnight.
Nice.
God damn.
Did you then? Did you have to order Domino's once you got home? Like now you got a taste for it.
Yeah, now I had the itch. Now that I thought I committed to your head to getting Domino's. I committed so much in my head. Yeah, I wish I would have gotten to see more bands perform, but I really just like, I don't know. It was all kind of in and out so fast.
You 80s should listen.
Themed. There
you
was a lady
listen.
Showing her butthole at the pool all day, apparently.
Jay, you should listen to David Foster Wallace's This Is Water commencement speech.
Why?
I think it would help you in those situations. I know it's helping me.
What situations?
Where you get frustrated about life happening around you.
I did all right, though, yesterday.
Well, what's his? Why don't we channel it and get it through the game of telephone that is Luis J. Gomez? Give me a little bit. Yeah, David Foster taste. Wallace, what does he have to say?
I mean, basically, he does a commencement speech at some college, and he starts it off by saying, there's two small fish swimming, like swimming, and then an older fish swims by. I'm gonna
I swear to God, dude, this is like
us?
Asking my...
Is this
is Lewis telling the story is like when I ask my six-year-old what her teacher said in kindergarten today.
And she's
like,
and,
well, he kind of got up there, and he basically like says, okay, so there's like a really big fish, and then there's a small fish. I don't know.
Like,
one fish, one fish, two fish, three fish, four fish, blue fish, red fish. the older fish says to the younger fish, morning boys, how's the water? I got it, G Mike.
No. The whole point is I want to hear it through Lewis. I don't want any help.
And then one of the younger fish asks, what is water? And the whole point of it is that, like, you know, that's part of life happening around you. And once you accept that that's just life, you sort of let things go a little bit. It's a really good speech, actually. It's like 20 minutes long, but I do think about it now when I'm in traffic and I want to kill somebody. And I'm like, okay, maybe this person's having a worse life or a worse day than me. I only heard it yesterday,
fish,
guys. So I've only been able to apply this one day.
The fish doesn't know what water is because it's all he's ever experienced is water. Yeah. And what's the connection between this and you being frustrated by slow moving island people?
This is what I say now. Anytime I get frustrated, and it's only been a day, but I go, you know what? This is water. That's fine. There's a guy just like blocking traffic with his bike, and I'm going like,
no, I don't know if we're doing it the same exact way, but I'm learning to internalize 100% of my emotions, particularly rage, sadness, and stuff. And I just figured I'll just die in my mid-50s from that.
I'm pretty sure that's how you end up shooting up a school.
No. But to get these, now I'm going to go to a school now.
This is water, motherfuckers.
You have to accept life as is. No, I figure I just internalize it all. And then, yeah, it would explode inside my self. But you said you get 7 years of like just cruising.
7 years of bad luck.
Cruising. There was a school shooting yesterday. I saw that.
I did. It was a black
and
Nazi.
And then I saw, was it?
Yeah.
And then, is that true?
Yeah.
And then I saw myself as high school. I know. That's the second like Tennessee shooting where I've been like right away. I think like Nate's, you know, daughter.
The Tennessee shooters could be a band on Shiprock.
It's true. But I always think about that. But this was a high school. So.
Yeah. But Nate's rich enough now that he's like, she's going to skip middle school.
He paid for her to go to that high school.
Yeah, she's Billy Madison.
The shooter. She's the shooter. Yeah. Oh man, I got some explaining to do.
I just saw like a picture of him hiling, and there's also I think he filmed some of the shooting or something.
He praised Hitler. From what I read in the brief thing I read, it seemed like it was very targeted. Like he killed a person than himself.
He killed one chick and then himself, but maybe he was trying to kill more people. You know, that's what I would assume. I wouldn't just kill one.
Well, I mean, if you're going to do it,
if I was going to shoot up a school, I would shoot a bunch of people, but then I would let one person go. So they tell the story about how I wasn't that bad of a dude.
Oh yeah.
You thought this through.
Yeah.
You give him and you got to give him the reasons. You know what I mean? He's the one you send out with the reasons.
Yeah. You picked me in basketball in gym class. You live.
Yeah.
I was always the last pick in gym class every time.
Always?
No, there was maybe one or two like really dorky kids.
I would think just on being a big dude, you would have always been last. No,
day one, they picked me first, and then they were pissed off. Like day one, they were like, oh, this big Puerto Rican kid's going to rule. And then
oh my God, he's going to be so fast.
Well, I was going to say, I was like, I was the big kid too. Now I will say, if they were picking teams for like, if they were doing like relay race type shit, or like obstacle type stuff, I was never quite picked on.
They were doing a potato sack race. It only fit up to your knees.
Yeah, it's not a big enough potato sack.
Here, Jay, put these potato sacks on your feet.
Potato ankles, potato ankle socks. But no, I wasn't picked like regular sports and stuff.
No, you were like
big kid could like. It had its thing again.
But you also were way more like athletic's the wrong word because I would consider myself substantially more athletic than you. But even then, like I guess we were both just chubby kids. But like you just had more.
What is it? I'm curious when you say that. I mean, I don't even know if I can argue with you about saying you're more athletic than me now, because on the definition of the word, I mean, for sure you could fucking run more. You're proportionally stronger. You know what I mean? So it's like. Definitely,
I think I could run like faster, have better endurance, swim. But I mean, if we did a decathlon,
that's
what I'm saying. I'm like,
You're in better shape than Jay. Yeah. Like I mean, I don't know. I think you're in much better shape than me, Lewis. I think I'm much more of a natural athlete than you are.
I think at this point, I'm more athletic than you.
It's just, I guess it all comes down to semantics and like what you mean by that.
Just look up the definition of athletic.
The reason I would say that in my head is just like I naturally could run faster, jump higher, things like that. But yes, there's no question like you.
Yeah, but I became more athletic and you became less athletic. So I'm probably not more athletic than you at your peak.
I think, Dave, I think what the thing is that
I'm not even arguing with you.
Here's the definition. Listen, physically strong, fit, and active.
Okay, then that's fine. Then sure.
Well, then by that definition, sure. Then but you're more athletic.
Me and Dave are both thinking of is sports skill.
But I don't think
I wouldn't
athleticism.
To me, the way people use the term, like anytime you're talking about a sport, skill isn't really what they're talking about. It's more like if you're saying someone's like a great passer or has great ball handling, you would never describe that as like athleticism. That's like a skill thing. But if someone's just faster and can jump higher than you, it's like, oh, they're just more athletic.
Having nothing to do with us. It's like if you were to do like a decathlon where sort of tests every sort of area of athletics, I just think that I would probably do better in most events than both of you guys.
Just on endurance, you'd be.
Sure, yeah.
I think endurance is a huge part of athleticism.
That's not the way I've ever used it.
For the love of God, you're a 43-year-old man who hasn't worked out in 20 years.
Hey,
well,
Lewis,
that's not true. That's an exaggeration.
By the solid definition of athleticism they're saying that we just read, physically fit, strong and whatever.
Strong and active.
Sure. Yeah.
And active.
Absolutely.
If that's the definition, then sure.
What is
Lewis
your definition? What is your definition?
Faggy definition.
What is your definition that we can definitely do
raw,
like decathlon?
Yeah, I'm talking about just like almost like the inherent grace of like
raw ability is more, I think, what people usually
think you guys
are
imagining me playing. Like, yes, you guys are better at basketball than me. That's not athleticism. That's
no.
A specific sport. Then I could say that I'm better at MMA than you guys. So that's a specific sport like that. But that's not what we're talking about.
I guess I would just say it's that you're in good shape and you're skilled at MMA. Like that's just literally how everyone I know always used the terms like skilled versus athletic.
Skill, just the mechanics.
I would say Ralph is more athletic than both of you. He's a distance runner who does marathons. He's more athletic than you guys, and he's a big.
Well, he's definitely a lot gayer.
I'm just saying, I mean. I understand that it's been the funny bit that I can't throw a ball. I get it, guys, but that's not what athleticism is. Throwing a ball.
I'm not trying to. I'm not taking any of that away from you. Like, dude, I think it's amazing that you're getting in good shape. I'm proud of you. I'm just saying, like, it is when you're having the conversation of who's more athletic. I mean, what strikes me is that you're the clumsiest person in the world, and it's just ridiculous to refer to you as an athlete. But I am very proud of you.
You guys are sedentary old men.
Well, that's also true. But no one's denying that.
You say so, bro.
But what definition do you guys have that would define?
I don't know how many times I can say this. I don't know if I can say this over and over again. I said I'm talking about the basic sports skill and grace, like the idea of it. I think it would look odd, like you catching a football on the run.
I think that I could, you know, at this point, like, I could play football better than both of you.
You can get open. You could get open.
I can't be a quarterback. I can't, but I could catch the ball, run further, run faster.
You couldn't run faster than me. You could run a lot further.
Might be able to run faster than you at this point.
And you don't know how good you are catching a ball.
I know how to catch a ball.
Lewis isn't terrible at catching or throwing a ball. Yeah, look, I don't know.
I specifically know how to catch a ball. I've played football before, and I've played catch with a football. I'm not very good. I don't have a great spiral. I can do it okay, but I'm not.
I remember the last time we threw a football around, which was a long time ago.
Outside of Lewis's apartment,
you were a lot better than I thought you would be at it. Like you actually were not bad.
But none, and you guys aren't like particularly good at those things. Like you, Dave's really good at basketball. Jay is.
Now, I'm not really good.
Jay's really good for a big guy at basketball, like, you know, posting up and being, you know, playing his position. But like, that's a one specific.
You posting up.
Listen,
game,
I mean, I got to say, Lewis, I know
you mean I can't when you describe from the outside,
buddy? When you describe me and Jay both as really good at basketball, I understand that to you, the ceiling is Matt and Shane. And that's like the ultimate perfection at basketball. But there's a much wider world out there. We're not really good. Neither of us are really good at basketball.
Lewis, 3-point contest. Me and you.
Go to the butt. Let's go.
Just 3-point contest.
Yeah, you'll beat me at that specifically. But that's like me saying leg kick contest, Jay.
Leg kick contest followed by whoever can still shoot three-pointers with their legs.
With damaged legs.
Every time you miss a shot, someone gets kicked in the leg.
That's great.
Oh, man, I missed. God, motherfucker.
Yeah, I just feel like at this point,
shoot off,
I mean,
dead legs.
It's not just lifting weights. It's, you know, I run a lot and I fight a lot.
No, you're in shape. You're in shape in a way that we're not even
close
are, to.
I said this before, this isn't even a bad thing, especially in fighting and stuff like that. You're blunt force trauma. You're not graceful.
My boxing is pretty graceful. I'm pretty good at it. I don't just throw hard shots. I box from the outside for the most part. I'm not a brawler. Yeah, you don't know. You have no idea, Jay.
Okay.
Why don't you come learn?
I'm all right. I'm going to go box Lewis every other day.
Yeah, dude, why not? Fuck. Oh, shit. Oh, no. I ordered a coffee a while ago. Oh, I hope it's not outside. Fuck.
It's probably outside.
Oh, it's outside. God damn it. Do you guys want to do plugs real quick while I get my coffee?
Sure.
All right, sweet. Hold on.
Davey, you want to do your plugs real quick?
Sure. Coming up, I got a lot of stuff. I'll be on the road all year long. Next stop is Louisville. How do you say it, Jay? I pronounce everything wrong.
Louisville,
Kentucky. And then Fort Wayne, Indiana. Then what do we got? If you guys could get there, Key West, Houston, Buffalo, Boston, Chicago, a whole lot of dates. That's far enough in advance. ComicDaveSmith.com for all of those ticket links. And then I will be, I'm on February 11th. I will be participating in an Oxford-style debate at Princeton University. This is how far our nation has fallen. That I will be there, but there are still tickets available for that if you guys want to get them. Hope to see some of you guys out there right here in Jersey.
There.
Yeah, buddy, come on out.
What day of the week is it? That'd be fun.
It is February 11th, which is a Tuesday.
Ooh.
So I will be nice and hungover from Legion of Skanks the night before.
Who are you debating?
Josh Hammer. He was a senior editor at Newsweek.
Oh, Josh the Warhammer? You're dead,
Josh,
dude.
The Warhammer. Yeah, no. By the way, dude,
is he related to Greg the Hammer?
As far as debate opponents go, pretty intimidating name. going up against the hammer. But yeah, so come check that out if you can.
Dave Nails Smith or something. We got
to
get you.
I do have to come up. That's true. All right, we got to work on that. Partoftheproblem.com, of course, also, if you want to support my other show, get all the cataloged episodes, and you get the members only episode, which I just recorded earlier today. And yeah, that's all.
Sickness.
Word up. BigJComedy.com for all my dates, everybody. And I'm all over the place. It appears what's going to be happening, it's a little bit, if you're a subscriber, get a little early jump on this. I think what we're doing in February at the Comedy Store is I'm going to be doing an early show on Wednesday the 19th, an early show at 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. is going to be a Story Wars, live Story Wars, 10:30 show. February 19th, it's a Wednesday.
So is there one Story Wars show?
One Story Wars show so far. If it sells, we might add. Okay. The problem was the other days got picked up by benefits for the fires. Like Attell's doing a thing.
Oh, so that's what got that's old news. Elon's hiling. We've moved on.
It's fine, man. But before that, I'm gonna, and after that weekend, I'm going to be at Ontario Improv, which is one of my favorite clubs. So come out to see me in Syracuse. It's not one of my favorite clubs. Changed my mind. Orlando before that. So yeah, that's my next gig, I believe, is Orlando. And I'm actually doing before that two shows with Shane Gillis. I believe Vancouver and Seattle are those two dates in there too. So I'm gonna be doing a couple of arenas with Shane this year. So look for look out for me on those sons bitches. And of course, Story Wars, America's favorite new game show obsession, exclusively. Well, uncensored exclusively on Gas Digital, but available on YouTube as well. And then The Bonfire, 5 days a week, Faction Talk, Sirius XM 103 with me and the great Robert Kelly. And February 14th, the first half of my double crowd work special, Them They, will be coming out on YouTube. Them premiering February 14th. A month later, we're going to do They. So stay tuned for that.
Sickness. Come see me live on the road, folks. Lewisofskanks.com is a website. They bring five friends. So we're doing great. Been selling out shows every weekend for the tour so far. And this weekend was going to be the case as well, but we had to move the show tonight. We're recording this on Thursday. Tonight's shows, all the airports are closed in Charleston. So I'm not going this weekend to Charleston or to Naples, but they moved the Charleston dates already to April 11th and 12th weekend. They added another show as well because those shows were sold out. And then we're moving the Naples shows as well. So hang tight. I'll be giving you makeup dates for those Naples shows as well. But my next time on the road is February 6th, 7th, and 8th. Winnipeg, Rumors in Winnipeg. Great club. Love that club. Wise Guys, Salt Lake City on February 21st and 22nd. And then... yeah, once again, right before we have that Story Wars show in LA, and I'll be doing some other stuff, I'm sure. Adding a lot of stuff. My March right now, it looks like I don't have anything on, but I have a bunch of stuff on the calendar for March. So hang tight. I think it's going to be somewhere in Arizona, Vancouver. Lots of cool stuff coming up. Check out all my other podcasts. The Lewis and Zach Show, which has been fucking killing it lately. Story Wars. And the regs. And if you guys want a bonus podcast, I do a bonus podcast, the Lewis Journal podcast, just me solo every Friday morning, 6 a.m. it comes out. Just talking shit about life. And yeah, you can only get that by subscribing to my mailing list. It's not available anywhere else. You got to subscribe to my newsletter. You get an email every Friday morning at 6 a.m. with the latest Lewis Journal podcast. But yeah, you guys are already subscribed to Gas Digital. Skankfest presale is Wednesday. The 29th, Wednesday the 29th, 1 p.m. Eastern. The Skankfest is happening November 14th through 16th. So get those pre-sale tickets early. New Orleans is going to be a fucking blast. And get tickets to see me film my next special, July 12th, Side Splitters Tampa, Bobby Kelly directing, Zach Amico opening. We're going to have a fucking blast. A bunch of my friends and comedians are coming down to Tampa for that week to hang out. So if you guys are around, we're going to be doing some like after parties and before parties and shows throughout the week. It's going to be a really, really fun, exciting time. So grab those tickets in advance because they're already almost sold out and we still have quite some time.
Sick.
Fenoya, not Fenoya, well, Rob Mayhew. The only reason I thought Fenoya was because Rob Mayhew was like, I was going to be a replacement on Skanks. And I was like, Fenoya was going to be my replacement on Skanks. What do you think when I was going to move to LA? But I hung out with Rob Mayhew and it was so funny. I guess he listens to the show and he's like, you know, tell Jay that, you know, he's not the only person that sits down. I can sit down. It's not really a problem. he opened up for me in Montreal. And I really love Rob.
Oh, I love Rob too. But
I'll tell you a couple funny moments.
Let me retort to that.
Retort it.
I don't give a shit that anybody sits down. I didn't invent sitting down. I started sitting down because Patrice started sitting down, and I saw how much the crowd like reacted better to his like harshest shit.
I thought your feet were covered in potato sacks. It was the only way you could do comedy.
Yeah, I was gonna fall if I tried to move. What am I fucking gonna Chris Rock it with my feet tied together with a potato sack?
Jay never got over that potato sack grace.
Never. No. So it was had nothing to do with that. I said when we were on Shiprocked, he said to me when the show that he was hosting, he goes, well, I hope they're ready for a host who sits down. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, yeah. I was like, why would you do that? And he was like, I don't know. I go, that's just a weird energy to bring to hosting. That's not really when I host shows, I would never do that.
I'd say that's all I was saying. I'd say you shouldn't. I would personally say I don't think you should do it featuring. but hosting is insane. You can't sit down. Hosting.
Well, there's something when you're doing a 20-minute feature. So, because he featured for me in Montreal and he did great. Rob's number one. He's a fucking great dude, funny comic. I really like
featured
Rob.
For David Tell many, many years sitting on a stool. Like, so that's, I have no.
No, listen, maybe you're.
I have no thing on that. I'm saying host, though, is supposed to be the person who brings the
energy. Well, host is crazy. There's no debate about that.
When I host a show, when I was hosting Nasty Show in Montreal, I went out there like big energy. You know what I mean? Like,
So here's my thing, right? Even as you say that, I'll amend what I was saying a little bit. I don't have a problem with you sitting featuring for a tell. If a tell was going to sit down, it'd be insane for you to sit down featuring for him.
I agree with that,
but also, generally speaking, I would kind of have a problem with it. Generally speaking, not necessarily across the board. I wouldn't really want my feature sitting down. There's just something where
I didn't really give a shit that he sat down. It was, look, the reality is this. It's like, I'll tell you, there was three funny Rob moments on this one. And he'll hear this because he listens to the show. So there's three hilarious Rob moments.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
And that question is, because I just want to take a guess, but not knowing the stories at all. Are they, because you probably more than you and I even, you and Rob trigger a thing in each other of like, it's like the bear crawl on the cruise ship. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's the, like you guys really have like a, who's the dog in the room right now?
Well, yeah, but that also makes sense. Cause that was 12 years ago when we were both dogs in the same place.
You know what? I haven't seen Rob in years. I don't remember when the last time I saw Rob was, but it's been quite a while. But
he was here while I still lived in the place I live now, because he was playing basketball with us for a while.
Yeah, it's like 5-6 years.
But I don't think I saw him the last time that was. Sure. I could be wrong about that. I don't have that good a memory anymore. But he at the time, like back in the day, we're talking 12 years ago or whatever, 15 years ago, it was. You, Jay, were already kind of like, he like accepted you were kind of like, you know, from a previous generation, like you were kind of further along. Whereas I think he had a little bit more of a competitive thing with me and Lewis.
Sure.
Because at the time we really weren't as
well. We were all opening for you.
We were
literally opening for you on Shiprock. So me and Rob would like try to compete for like girls and shit. And it was like, so yes, it sort of is based in that. And now Jay, we're two fucking athletes, two alpha dogs.
Couple of athletes, dude.
Sometimes these two fucking athletic alpha dogs just, you know, they put
that. Well, once Dana White buys our idea of 3-point contest with leg kick punishments.
I mean, you locked Buck Jones and Francis Ngannou in a cage. You know, what are they going to do?
Fuck Story Wars, dude. That's a way better.
Dude, it's just free throws. No, me and you get into things because we've been friends for a really, really long time. And sure. It's nothing to do with comedy or career. It's literally to do with friends, like two brothers that fucking just once a year we have a nice little drag out. It's nice. It's nice, actually. It's like hitting a refresh button. It's nice. Rob is a different thing. Rob, and once again, I don't want to talk shit because I'm really not talking shit. I thought these are just funny Rob Mayhew moments that you would appreciate, Jay. So I don't want him to hear this and think I'm like talking shit, because I'm not. I think he's fucking hilarious. I think he's great.
Lewis, the disclaimer is over.
It's so obvious.
We all love Rob. Rob is
great. He's incredible. Now, let's get to what an asshole he is.
Shit talking behind his back to his face.
No, I said this much too.
As hard as we laughed right there, that's where his stomach just sunk.
I said this to him, and I just, and look, the Rob's fucking, this is what makes him great. He's like a character. He does have a similar thing to me in that. So the first thing was, he's given, he's asked, he's telling the host what to say about him, like when he comes up. And he's like, all right, so say that I'm the most dangerous comedian in Canada, banned from the United States.
Oh, Jesus.
So I'm like literally going, I was like, I had to stop him. I was like, Rob, I was like, no, dude, just say you've been on Legion of Skanks. What are you doing? Nobody cares about all that
shit. The comedian your grandma warned you about.
You're featuring for me in this tiny little Montreal comedy club.
I hope
club.
You put your nuts on extra tight because even the liberal United States couldn't handle it.
Oh, it was just such a great little moment. He's like, well, dude, you got all these names. And I was like, well, like I'm headlining.
Banned in America and, because he overstayed a visa.
I know. But so he's like, and I get, he's like trying to do a thing and like, which I get, like, cause I, you know, but my things, it is ironic. Like, I, you know, I don't really call myself the Howard Stern of MMA radio in any serious capacity. You know what I'm saying?
You don't even do MMA radio anymore.
When I say the king of things, Puerto Rico, it's like, it's being funny. Like, you know, but it just,
it's tongue in cheek. Yes.
It didn't come off that way.
It is, by the way, this speech is just funny with real ass dude and neon behind you. Guys, it's just a gag, man. It's not something I fucking live by or anything.
But like if I was featuring stuff for somebody, I wouldn't give them a slew of nicknames for myself. I would literally just be like, yeah, I'd say I've been on Comedy Central. That's
buddy,
fine.
I wouldn't do that under any circumstances for anything. Like give like, you know, the guy, fucking the Queen said, not allowed in England.
I mean,
dude, that's
dude.
Cringy.
If a host asked me what they wanted to say about me, and I even thought to myself, tell them I'm the most dangerous comedian around, I would immediately shrivel up into being like a foot tall just for having the thought.
Oh, and shit.
I'd be like, don't say anything. I'm not going on.
He probably shouldn't be featuring because, like, his whole thing is like he sits there and he's like, his jokes are all like kind of like heady and he tells you how it is, and you're like, you're like, I don't know, you're just featuring for Luis J. Gomez. I do dumb dick jokes. Like, it's such a weird fucking thing.
Don Rickles says this guy makes him look like Bob Hope.
So that was the one thing which was pretty fucking funny. But
that's,
I was like,
great. Oh man, that was fun. So I did really enjoy that. I did enjoy that. Go get him, Rob. Fuck it, dude.
So I was like, Rob, just say you've been on Legion of Skanks. Say you're the first Canadian comedian on Legion
of
Skanks.
Dude, how about the Canadian Beaver? Do like the Lewis thing. If you're going to do it, just do the Lewis.
Just
like
really
the Canadian,
do it.
The Canadian Beaver.
So then the second thing he did was I had a chick there that came with me. You guys met her at New Year's Eve. And she came to hang out for the weekend. And I get off stage. Dude, this is fucking wild. I get off stage. And she like walks out of the room. And he goes, yeah, dude, don't worry. I left her alone. Like, Rob, were you gonna fuck her behind my back if you chose to? You decided that you weren't gonna fuck the chick I brought with me.
I'll try to half defend Rob on this, right? One, the problem Rob
she's
has
a slut.
Is that he knows that your chick's a slut and he could take her. It's that he does. I know I had this back in the day when we used to like hang out more often, is that he'll say things sometimes I think that come off as very competitive, that sometimes he doesn't mean them to be that way. Like, because it's just a wild thing to say to another dude, be like, don't worry. You know, like I had, but it might've been like him more being like, I just, so you know, I wasn't like trying anything or something like that. But like, it's just, he just says it in a way where it comes off like, wait, do we have to fist fight now? Like, you can't just say that fucking to me, dude.
It was bonkers. And then the third thing,
you do worry he's going to always snag your chick.
Yeah. If the third thing is that he fucked your chick, this is the greatest story of all time.
Yeah,
third
really
thing,
is.
He fucked. He did fuck her.
He was
son
lying.
Of a bitch.
He didn't leave her away from her.
I stayed away from
she
her.
Wouldn't stay away from him. That was the problem.
The third, now, unfortunately,
goes, dude,
stay the
you didn't
same
let
for
me
her.
Finish. He goes, dude, you didn't let me finish. I stayed away from her. She came over and started sucking my dick. Now, what was I supposed to do?
I'm just the guy. I'm the same as the Canadian Beaver.
There's no damn too strong for me. And then the third thing was he was describing how he met Dave. And I don't know if you remember this, Jay. Do you remember him the first time you met Dave?
Lewis told me this on the phone. I had not thought about this for a long time, but I think you'll remember after it's told to you.
Yeah, not off the top of my head, no.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, I guess he didn't tell the story that differently, but it was just he sort of downplayed exactly how much Dave was going to kick his ass physically.
Oh,
you don't remember this at CB's?
CB's? Yeah.
Dave. So the thing you guys have to know about Dave is when Dave was an inexperienced comic, and if he got heckled, he would very quickly just start cursing a woman out and calling her a cunt, and just like really get aggressive.
Is that true?
Yes, it happened multiple times.
I don't know if that's right. I mean, I will say when I was young, I mean, we were joking about this like a couple months ago, but before. I was never like Lewis. I was probably more in the range of Jay. But before I got married and had kids, I was somewhat prone to incidents. Like I wouldn't do it all the time, but I would lose my shit and have an incident.
I mean, if you remember, I think it was a gay guy. The episode was a gay guy, a chick, and a dude or whatever.
Outside of Eastville
that we fought a gay guy, a chick, and a dude.
I remember that story.
That's a Dave incident with like a girl heckling him. But yeah, fuck you.
Well, that one actually isn't a great example of that because I was wrong
in any of these situations.
No. But in that one, I didn't lose my temper. Like I was calm. I was actually just laughing and mocking the chick. And then she slapped me across my face.
Yes.
And then I lost my shit because she had two guys with her. So we just took all our rage on them. But I mean, even like Alex, I think I forgot about it until Alex mentioned it, but I was like, oh, I think I lost. But literally this was all of us going out. Lauren was with us. So I was dating her. We weren't married or had kids yet, but I lost it at a movie theater. And I said I was going to jump over the concession stand and beat the shit out of the guy.
The one chick to the stand, the girl you used to date, remember? The one that you brought to my son's birth?
That one was on you.
You brought a dumb TikTok bitch to my son's birth. Well, before TikTok.
That one I'm going to put on squarely on your shoulders. The birth, that is. But yeah, because you just invited us. But yes, I lost it on one of the guys at the stand there. Yep. Threatened him a whole bunch. Yeah, I would lose. I had a short temper. I'm much better about it now, but I sure did. But yeah, so I don't know if I don't remember the details.
I'll tell you Rob's version real quick. It wasn't even anything crazy. Which kind of, he was like, yeah, the first time I met Dave, we almost fist fought. But then we became cool or whatever. I was like, Rob, that's not what happened. You were virtue signaling for some dumb bitch in the crowd that Dave was like having it out with. And then just like the guy, the girl and the gay guy and the other guy, you can't beat up a woman.
The Line, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. guy's the wardrobe.
Yeah,
I do remember that. Is that it was something where I had lost my shit on this chick. And I think in Rob's defense, like the chick, again, I don't remember the details of this, but she deserved it. She was like way out of line. And I think I was telling her off. And he just walked into seeing me like calling some chick a cunt.
You should have told yourself in that moment.
What?
This is water.
I didn't. This is before I had that knowledge.
This is water.
I didn't know. This could have, by the way, this could have avoided the whole thing. But it was exactly what I do remember this. It was exactly what Lewis was just getting at, is that it was this thing where you're like, when you lose your shit on a chick and you're almost like, dude, I wish there was something I could do because I'm like ready to fight. But she's a chick. So you're just going to be like, fuck you, bitch. And then when he came over and he's like, whoa, dude, you can't talk to a lady like that. I was like, perfect. Like, yes.
Great.
There's a yes, exactly what I wanted. And I do remember my first line that I ever said to Rob Mayhew was I said, is this disgusting cunt your girlfriend? Which is like, just a way to, you're just like, I'm ready to fight.
Yeah, but
like,
if you're a dude, that even though fight, it's not your girlfriend, you're like,
you go, well, just so you know, I'm letting you know that I think that might be your girlfriend right now, and I'm calling her a dirty cunt
and
to
as
your
a
face.
Dude,
so
it,
what do you want to do?
Dude, he's going like, because I've been on the other side of that. Not necessarily
like,
exactly.
I don't actually want to fight over her. She's not my girlfriend.
But you're going like, well, no. He obviously doesn't give a shit. He's just disrespecting me at this point.
Yes. which is what it was intended to do. Like, it's it was just, you know, you're angry enough that you could see red and you're trying to get
out,
turns out the most
dangerous man in Canada is not as tough as a wigger that weighs 140 pounds from Brooklyn.
Well, listen, most dangerous man in Canada isn't even top 300,000 in New York City, so you gotta
Brian Adams.
No, but we became friends after that, like very shortly after this. It wasn't like a problem for a while, but yeah, we had an incident at the old CB's comedy club.
I like going over Dave old incidents. There was the time you threw the water at the bartender at was my friend.
We've told that story. Yep, that was for sure.
It was very incident. This is why we all became friends. We were all little incident-y assholes, except fucking Dave grew up and me and Jared just sitting there having incidents still.
Yep. Well, you know, the thing is, like, I don't know. I think I do a really good job of like just keeping myself away from a situation where I'll even maybe go. Like, I kind of know the animal that I am, so I try to not do that.
The movies, any concert, a mall, everything you have to do, a gas station where you don't have CB's, to pump your own gas.
CB's Comedy Club, can't CB's go there anymore.
Comedy Club, Greenwich Comedy Club.
But I guess now part of it, I guess also just doing a little better in life took a little bit of the edge off.
Yeah, when you're broke, everything sucks.
Yeah, like
literally fucking, the cold is colder.
Somebody punch me in the face just to feel.
You're being broke, dude. It's just every feeling is accentuated. Because they say that money will like make you, like if you're generous, you become more generous. If you're an asshole, you become more of an asshole. Right. But when you're broke, it just makes everything so much more extreme. Like when somebody slights me, I'm like, I can't even handle fucking how the anger that I would feel for like almost nothing back in the day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's real easy.
Excuse me, sir. Can I walk by you? You go, what? I'm just some street trash you can step over.
Shit.
I do remember I told this story on a podcast once. This is many years ago. And Rob got angry at the way I told it.
Oh, no.
Like, he was like, oh, you think
he's getting angry at the way we just made fun of him for 20 minutes?
It's possible. He was like, oh, you said I was white knighting for that chick. And that's not really what happened. And I remember being like, no, it's exactly what happened. Like you came in knowing nothing about the situation.
Oh, dude, there's
she was a nice girl,
Somebody going outside and taking the shitty audience member's side. Oof.
Oh, well, yeah, that's what it was. Is that she was a problem? Like, you know what I mean? Just like a problem audience member. And then I just like had it out with her. This
that happened
after the show.
That happened at the Stand recently. Like these girls were removed for heckling. It was like I had 2 days in a row where I performed at the Stand. It was like the last time I performed at the Stand. Like also, I'll get up when I'm like there if they ask me to do a spot, but I don't put in the veils anymore because I got so angry because these girls were removed. And then I come upstairs and May, like the tall 22-year-old hot manager, she's like consoling these girls and being like, no, I know you guys don't worry, but we want to. I was like, no, remove them violently. What are you doing? They were heckling. They were fucking, they were offended by a joke and they were talking shit. You don't console them and act like they're fucking right. Ooh, that made me mad.
It bothers me just hearing it.
It's just fucking no. There should be a united front. If anybody fucking heckles for any fucking reason, they're removed. Also, I think the Stand owes us a wild amount of money. They haven't paid us since they paid us that big payout, and now it just keeps on adding up more and more and more. I have called them 7 times being like, hey, guys, we got to get paid, and it's got to be a weekly schedule now. And they keep on just going, yep, cool.
No, gotcha. Did you see it? This is what my father did with child support. No, it's not there? Shit. You know what? I might put the wrong kind of stamp on that. Let me redo it.
It's wild.
Oh,
dude.
Fuck. I think I put it in a recycle bin, not a mailbox. All right. Fuck me. You know what? Okay. I got to order checks now because that was my last one. But when they get here.
Dude, your dad telling me. I mean, it's the hardest I've ever wanted to laugh
before
without
you
being able to laugh.
Before you say it in full, it just with Butterly and Fenoy, I was like a good like stoned, like shooting the shit conversation. We were talking about like dads and stuff. And I was saying how my dad hung on to the fact that he took a London Fog jacket off layaway when I was, I think about maybe doing something with this on stage because like it made them laugh so hard. Telling the idea that when I was 11, I was like 11 years old. He spent $11 to get my jacket off of layaway, my winter coat. And he really kept that feather in his hat. And then after at one point, I didn't talk to him for 7 years because I just didn't call him. I wanted to see how long it would take him to call me. He said he was in New York, and I was like, yeah, sure. Come on through. In 5 minutes of meeting my ex-wife, he mentioned the line. He goes, you know, I get a bad rap, but it's just like, and no one talks about like the good, like I got your jacket off layaway when you were younger. He said this like in 2004, 2005, something like that.
So and, this is, so I had heard that much from Jay. Jay has told me this story about how his jacket, his dad always brings up the jacket he got off layaway. Like he's just this dad who ditched out on his kid, but he always like sticks to, I took your jacket off layaway. So I just thought that was funny. And I had a shitty dad too. So I kind of like relate to it. And then the first time I ever met him, when he came up to your hotel room, which Jay, by the way, just his estranged father comes in to see him for the first time in like a decade at that point or something like that. I'm meeting him for the first time ever. And then Jay just goes, all right, I'm going to take a shower. It just leaves me with his dad. So I'm just sitting there talking to Jay's dad, who's not even Jay's dad. He's just some dude who happened to have come in Jay's mom. Jay's like, he's dude? Not even really Jay's. Jay's dude. He's just Jay's dude. And so I'm just sitting there with him. And I mean, dude, I always thought, I always thought Jay was telling the truth about the story, you know, like any story, you're telling it from your perspective or whatever.
But it's, but not, Jay quite was as, not, it's not quite I don't as think big Jay in his mind was, as it is.
It's, I don't think Jay was in the shower yet. I think the water was running, but I don't think you had stepped into the shower yet before he turns to me and he goes, you know, I always get a bad rap, but, you know, I took his jacket off layaway. And I just stare this guy straight in his face. And dude, I just want, I mean, like in my mind, I was just like cataloging, like, I was like, oh, we're going to laugh so hard at that when you're gone, dude. This is going to be so
the cackle
funny.
On that, the
we'll
cackle.
Tell this on podcast for years to come.
There was, Dave, can you also remember, because I want to remember that night. That was like a night of like a million. This is me and you opening for Dave Attell. That was my dad coming and saying that. Then my dad passing out from weed outside, clunking his head, taking a nap. We do the show. He left. A girl came to hang out, but no, I don't. I think she had weed. We didn't like her at all. We weren't like looking to hook up with this chick at all. But she wanted, and there was something about when she left, and me and you smoking weed in the bathroom. One, you got to tell me. We laugh about this chick for like an hour about just the idea of like a girl. She definitely just wanted to hook up with either or both of it. Didn't matter. But we were just like, yeah, whatever it was, just making fun of laughing about her.
I don't remember that at all. I remember cackling about your dad.
But when after she left, you had to give me like the, like, oh my God, dude, I can't believe I forgot to tell you this. Yeah. And then it's when you remember and tell me that he brought up the London fog jacket in 2 minutes of knowing you was.
It came up so quick, dude. Like it was like, all right, dude, if you get a moment alone with Dave, you got to tell him about the jacket story. Like it was
$25
unbelievable,
jacket he put $11 on.
And this is like, as adults, like, yeah, yeah. I mean, I was a lot younger at the time, but like, you're gonna like imagine like as a man looking at another man and being like, I bought my kid a jacket once. He didn't even buy the jacket. He didn't even buy the jacket.
It's 25 years ago. Man, fuck, that's great.
I did love that one.
I went to Tim Dillon's birthday party last night.
Yeah. Oh, how was that?
It was fun. Michelle was there. Christine was there. It's a lot of people that I really like there. And then, but I, whatever it is in those social situations, like I see all the people that are around that are like just straight up climbers, just people that are there for the free drinks, there for the free food. None of them are really friends with anyone. They're just looking for like the situation to like rub elbows with like more famous people. And then
I'm like you in that. This is why me and you never did well in the old industry.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's, you know, and exactly what you
me
just
either.
Said too.
Like, but like, it almost well, like, yeah, it shines a light on like that. It feels like,
but you
I'm
know
looking
what part
in a mirror.
Of it?
Let me finish the point. It feels like I'm looking in the mirror and like I start to feel like I am that. And that's how people are seeing me.
Yep.
So yeah, then I the kind of like shut down. I get depressed and I like, oh, I go to a corner and I just talk to a few people that I know. And it looks like I'm being a dick to everyone, but they offered me a bracelet. They're like, do you want a bracelet for drinks and food? I was like, no, I don't know why. I was like, no, I don't want your bracelet.
You have a hand tattoo, Lewis?
Yeah.
No, on your hand. Oh, you just drew that.
Oh no, I doodle because I'm a retard.
Gotcha. Christine went and she had a good time and she was like, she texted me because I was like not able to go to that at all. And she was just like, because I got home so late. She was like, you wouldn't have liked it.
No, you would have, because we would have went
like,
downstairs.
You would have been happy to see everybody.
We would have been down. Like, this is what ended up happening eventually is me, Ari, Bobby Kelly, a few, and just a few other people. TJ just ended up downstairs smoking cigars, sort of away from like the party. And we had our own little like circle and crew of people that were just like fun to talk to. you know, but that's what.
Yeah,
that's
no, I know what you mean. It's like a thing.
Makes me.
I have this thing in common, and I guess it's like from being too in your own head or insecurity or something like that. But it's also like the way you said it, Lewis. It's like it. What even if it was somebody almost who I would love to hang out with and would have a great conversation with? Like as soon as there's some, you see somebody else like playing that climber game, you're like, well, now I don't even want to talk to Tim. You know what I mean? It's like, and Tim's like my friend. I love Tim. But it's like, but I do, I would feel that way. Like if I was sitting around like anyone, like of our uber successful friends, if it was like a party and then like a bunch of like hanger-ons just wanted to talk to Shane, in my head, I'm like, I just don't want to talk to Shane now.
Buddy, it's the kind of thing I
love him and he's my boy. And if it wasn't, if it was just like the five of us or something like that, then I would love to talk to him.
When I went
to those environments,
when I went to that jelly roll roast, it's supposed to the whole thing. I'm just like, it's like now I feel like I have to go pay.
Jay
my
showed up because they were. He thought they were roasting actual jelly rolls.
Nice. I saw that you mailed that one to me last week.
I know. Yeah, sorry. Go long. I delivered that so shittily.
He goes, you hear about this? You see this? Big J went to the jelly roll.
It was a shit joke that I fucking
went up. You should have went up on your tiptoes and back on your heels. And they say they thought he was roasting actual jelly rolls.
Dude, if you have a bad joke and you also deliver it shittily, my god!
But Big J, same thing. It's like the now I have to go pay my respects to Jelly Roll.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like the idea of when you walk up to him, you're like, because I'm watching everyone be in his orbit and you're my best friend and we're friends now. And isn't it great we're friends? And I'm like, I mean, we know each other a little bit, man. I don't know. Very strange.
Which yeah, I do.
I'm not going to call a grown man Jelly. Like, that's his first name.
It seems to me, and I don't know, this is from the outside looking in, but it seems that about 80 to 85% of being famous is that, like, in that moment, you're supposed to, like, take a selfie with Jelly Roll, post about Jelly Roll, stay in touch with Jelly Roll. Then, like, you know what I mean? Like, almost do that. And I'm so allergic to that.
Can I say one thing?
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you what one Jelly Roll song sounds like.
I do. I know the hits. I shouldn't even say that. I know like the two songs that like were
idea. He could do hip hop.
I heard the one
country.
That
I think it might be
country.
A little bit of both.
He's country.
The one he did with Eminem. I've heard the one he did with Eminem and I did not care for it.
But he's I mean, he's like a super sweet guy. He's he loves
he's full
comedy,
of jelly. He better
awesome.
Be sweet.
Yeah. Super sweet. But yeah, but I'm saying more like the people, like the hang around. I don't know, man. It was just like, I told you the same thing. The guy from Yellowstone, who was a fucking jerk off there at the Jelly Roll roast. What an asshole. And then it's like, but after the roast, I feel like everyone in the green room was like crowded around him to be like, you know what I mean? Just wanting to be like in his thing. And now it's like, oh, now I know him. And it's an outside shot. We exchange info or something or whatever. And it's like, I literally avoided him because I was like, well, I'm going to say something. I think that was fucking shitty what he did. That was like sticking in my ass. But I'm like, the people he was shitty to didn't give a fuck.
Ryan Felipe was there last night. Who's that bitch that Tim hangs out with as well? She was on
Z-Rock.
The old lady.
Bethany
Frankel.
It's kind of hot.
Yeah, Bethany Frankel was there. So all these like famous people. And I see people like going up to them taking pictures. I was like, dude, just fucking whatever it is. Like, how are you asking Bethany Frankel for a photo? You're a fucking man. You have a penis and balls, you faggot.
She's also famous for being like a fucking real housewife.
The coolest part of the night,
Dave,
though.
You know who she was? Do you remember the Z-Rock when you, I think you were with when we went to the ice rink?
I don't remember.
She played Joey's like girlfriend in that episode.
The coolest part of the night, though, is Dice, who I, even though Dice had two podcast episodes on Gas Digital, and I've met him a few times, I always assume Dice doesn't know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like every time I've seen him, really, he's just really not said anything. But last night he was just sitting there. I walk in and he's like, Lewis, hey, how you doing? And I was like, why are you doing a Rocky impression? He's like, I don't know. That's the way I talk sometimes.
I don't know. It's what it is.
So I can't do it, Dice. Hey,
Jay, you got to meet me at the party. I don't know. Dice just asked me to cut him.
No, but he came up to me and he was like, oh, I want to do Legion of Skanks.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
which was a pretty cool little fucking thing, like, for him to say. I mean, you know, and then he mentioned Skankfest, and I'm like, we try to get you for Skankfest every fucking year. Yeah, where is the disconnect?
And you tell us you cost $120,000 for 1 5-minute set.
He won't even do the set. No, she was going to charge us $100,000 to just be there? Come and hang. Yeah, like a personal appearance fee.
Hey, it's me in the hallway. Hey, look, now I'm in the place where you get food.
Now I'm by the water station. Oh,
oh, hey, there's some fights happening right over there. Not here. They're over there now. I'm over here now.
Yeah, but that'd be cool. So we might get, I guess he's spending more time in New York, so yeah, we might get Dice on Skanks, which would be a
that'd
fun
be thing. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, look, Dice is, you know, fucking, you know, I grew up so hard on Dice.
Fucking cornerstone of my comedy.
No, of course, interest. I know. But I mean, when I was a kid, like, you know, getting in trouble for saying the nursery rhymes in school. I mean, I think every comic probably has that story. But like, it's almost like, yeah.
I bet there's plenty of I bet there is many, probably a majority of comics now, like newer, younger comics, probably don't respect Dice's thing.
Well, I don't respect Dice's thing. I'm saying when I was younger,
Yeah, let's not go crazy.
before I knew what comedy was.
No, Jay's right though. It's an age thing. You'd have
I think anybody who's because any comic we 40 alive, years or older.
Yes, if you were alive for his run, like the run when he was literally like, he was huge, and he was also like, he owned the space as being he was really the Rob Mayhew of his time, but for America.
I'm the most dangerous comic of him.
Okay. He
was like the only arena comic at that time.
Yes.
You know, now I think there's like 10 arena comics or whatever, but like he was the one before there was a Dane Cook. You know, there's been very few like comedy. That's what I'm saying. Comedy is so big now because there's guys that are fucking, you know, doing massive, massive venues. But it was very special for Dice to play the Garden. No comics were playing in the Garden like that back at that time. I guess like Eddie Murphy, but Eddie Murphy had like a short lived run as a stand up. He's got so big on SNL so quickly. And then he did a couple
five
specials.
Fucking years. It was like five years of stand up.
Yeah. But so what a fucking talented motherfucker. Holy shit, Eddie Murphy was talented. Eddie Murphy and Dice were probably, if you look at like
Eddie Murphy, Dice, Jermaine Fowler,
what I grew up on, like that sort of like, then I'm not gonna say inspired me to do comedy. I'm talking about like when I'm before I was allowed, not even allowed, nobody, my mom didn't give a shit about what I watched, but before you were supposed to be watching dirty adult comedy, when I'm like 7 and 8, like I would rent those specials and watch them, and they were like super, just in these formative like years of my sense of humor, it was such a big part of it. Like I just remember, like I just have memories of a little kid just cracking the fuck up at the nursery rhymes, cracking the fuck up at Eddie Murphy, and they
to
were
me,
so
it was
filthy.
To me, it was delirious, and then
Delirious was the better one. Yeah,
Delirious at the time I liked so much more. But it was Delirious and Dice Man Cometh, and then Dice Rules were just
Dice
like,
Rules was the one that I rented over and over and over again because he had the rhinestones on his back on the cover of the thing. Yep. And then Delirious was, you know, Goonie Goo Goo and fucking the dad and, you know, lighting the backyard, the uncle lighting the backyard on fire.
As an adult, I feel Raw's a better special because it was, like I said, just age like hits it, like the subjects when I was a kid I didn't give a shit about. Like the people getting half the, you know, the wives getting half the money and all that shit. It was very adult. Like
Jay just started appreciating that this year.
Guy was making a really good point.
His subjects were just a little more like the first one was just, it was all relatable kid shit. You know, having a goofy family at the barbecue and all that shit. Yeah.
But like that would be pretty fucking cool to get Dice on Skanks would be
huge. My dream
just, just like a weird, like, you know, it's
almost
somebody who should
recently as my dream guest on the show to have Dice on Skanks.
Yeah, Dice would be fucking great.
Dice would be great. And Eddie Murphy, you're next.
After that, Eddie Murphy, you're on our list, bud.
And then we close down shop.
Jay, did you see Elon Hyling? Were you on the boat? You missed the news. It's so funny when you're on a boat.
I saw a bunch of it.
The news.
No, I saw a bunch of it. Yeah, I mean, by all. You know, I shouldn't even say by all, I guess by all accounts, because people did, I hear people say this, but even from the picture, I'm like, it's the freeze framing of a fucking thing. Remember I tell you, I was stopped.
Well, his is a little worse than that.
No, it's not freeze frame. They try to do that. They try to shoot a freeze frame of Hillary and a freeze frame of Kamala. And it's like, no, they're all waving. He straight up went. Like, I mean,
yeah, he did it a couple times.
I heard it was like doing his heart thing, like come on.
Yeah, no, that's what he said. Are saying.
I don't, the face to go with it is so funny.
I don't give a shit at all. If he was just straight up hiling Hitler, I don't care. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. But to act like it's anything but, like, in the best case scenario, he knows he's being provocative and trolling. That's like the best case scenario. It's not like my heart goes out to you. That's fucking retarded. He also turned around and did it to the flag. Like, the whole thing was bonkers.
Is there a video of it? Let me see the video of it.
You got to see the video. The freeze frame doesn't mean shit.
Yeah, the freeze frame. This is one of the weird examples where the video is much more damning than the freeze frame. The freeze frame, you're almost like, leave it at that. Leave it at the freeze frame, dude. If you just left it at that, you'd be like, I know what you're doing. I've seen this game. Everyone at some point will be
This is what idiots on Twitter are doing. They're like, they respond to the Elon thing with a freeze frame of Hillary like that or Obama like that. You're like, no, they were waving. Like, you guys caught them in a freeze frame waving.
The funny thing about it is that they've just gone to the Nazi well so many times.
Yeah.
That, like, it's a real boy who cried wolf thing. They have no bullet left in their chamber for this, you know?
He also turns around and does it. I guess they stop it.
Yeah, they didn't show the other one.
Well,
I saw
David Lucas being like, oh, he said he was just throwing his heart at. It's like, that's not what that is.
I don't know. Listen, I don't know what he was actually trying to do.
He was trying to do. Yeah. He goes, you're right. Freeze frame was not as damning as the video.
He is a very awkward, like herky jerky guy, and he's like, he gets so excited when he's in front of a crowd.
Then he turns around, look, he does it again. There's no heart going out to the flag.
I take my heart and I give it off to Hitler in heaven. Yay. Heaven, Hitler.
I mean, he's just smart. If you're a Trump fan, right? If you're a Trump supporter or whatever, aren't you kind of going like, ah, dude, just fucking let him come in just one day without having that be the story.
So you're like, dude, we haven't even constructed the death camps yet.
It's like the opposite side of the coin of like people on the left are like being like, oh yeah, we should let kids cut their dicks and tits off. It's like, well, that's extreme. Let's not do that. And that's why the pendulum swings. And then they have to just take it too far. At the very least, you know how it looks, Elon. You're a really smart businessman. You're a really smart person. You understand how it looks. So at the very least, just be smart about it. Just tap it in. Just don't do that. All you got to do is not do that. And you have an amazing day where Trump's in office and everyone's literally all the people on the left are going, all right, Trump won. Fair and square.
He's going to be like, yeah. What
I get the point that you're making, Lewis, but Elon Musk, if you are listening, there's a Jew who lives at Lewis J. Gomez's house. Go get him.
Dun, dun, dun.
Tits pick in the chat says it's all trolling. Fine. If it's trolling, I think that's funny. But I'm just saying, if I were a political man, I would go, maybe don't troll on the inauguration day where it's like this massive moment. You've donated.
Well, I also thought it was a strange choice for the little bits I saw, like the floor, like the, what do you call it? The Titantron, the scoreboard, wherever you did the inauguration. You were there, Davey, right?
No, I didn't end up going.
Oh, you didn't go. But
they revoked his ticket, Elon personally.
But what was with the middle, like the screens, the symbol they had up? It was like, it looked like they were making like a regime China fucking, you know what I'm talking about? It was like all red and fucking yellow writing.
I don't remember.
See if you can find out what I'm talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about, Mike or Alex?
I don't know.
Not really.
Just go look up the thing like that.
Hey, Alex, are you inside of a giant tin can right now?
I'm sorry, I don't have my regular microphone with me. I didn't think I'd be talking a lot.
Alex,
today.
Are you the old lady living in a shoe?
She had so many kids, her uterus fell out. Oh! I thought that was so funny when I was a kid.
What was my Jack Splat could eat no fat, his wife could eat no lean. So Jack ignored her flabby tits and licked her ass all clean. I would go into school the next day, just like, guys, here's another one I jotted down yesterday.
Jack and Jill went up the hill, each with a buck and a quarter. Jill came down with $2.50, that fucking whore.
Oh, loved it. Fucking whore.
What a slut, that Jill.
Any time to find that Chinese looking screens?
Yeah. Yeah, if it's
not the best description, like Chinese. Red and yellow.
People were saying it looked like China. Look at the inauguration screens. Yeah. Type inauguration screens red.
Yeah, you like I was hopeful, and I said in the very beginning, I was like, it's going to get hot in the kitchen again for comedians specifically, because it's because people get fucking crazy. The culture war, once a culture war becomes the thing and they go too far on one side, they like the people on the left are freaking out now. And it's like, all you got to do
yeah,
is
I don't they, know. Are they? I don't think so. I think I've been shocked with how like how calm it seems like the left has been. I think they're almost like out of energy.
It wasn't that. It wasn't showing a picture of anybody. It was like a symbol. It was maybe like the presidential symbol, but it was just like all very like strangely very like fascist fucking like rally looking.
Yeah, it's just I almost feel like, you know, Trump, his day one executive orders are like saying that men are men and women are women. It's like, guys, like how is this even falling? How is this the first thing you need to do on day one? It just seems like
Lewis, I mean, dude, be fair. He tackled a lot of very important issues. The Gulf of Mexico is now the Gulf of America.
That is true. You're right.
So pretty huge with that. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go enjoy some freedom fries.
It's just so retarded. You're like so your whole thing is that you are leaning into and appeasing sort of like the shittiest version of the right. There's all these people on the right that actually just want it to be a good country and everyone to make money and taxes to be less and businesses to thrive. And that's the way most people want things to be. Everyone kind of agrees on that. And then you're like, no, we're going to make day one orders. Like, let's fucking.
I think we hit a pocket, hopefully, that it seems like, again, like the people that were like in outrage over Trump the first time, it is 8 years later. And I think the perspective of that also, as you get older, those people like in their early 20s and stuff, they're getting pinned in their 30s. I think the young people don't give quite as much of a shit as
that's true
as they used
they
to.
Think and they think and then cancel the culture is cringe. That's right. What I've heard from young
and
people.
Then, yes. And so wait, Jim makes then, a very good
but,
point.
But then the people, those 8 years went by and they realized like, we'll live. It's four fucking years. Like how fast not, 4 years listen, goes and it means Jay's, nothing.
You're 100% right about all of that. It's a really good point. It's like the 22-year-old shock troop who was out protesting Donald Trump is 30 now.
Right.
You know, and it's like you're not out protesting as much when you're 30. And the new batch of 22-year-olds don't necessarily have the same, you know, they
give
were
a
little kid last time Trump was in. I do think the major two things are, number one, he's already been president for 4 years. You can't scare people with the unknown anymore. But number two, and I think this is the major one, is just that things didn't get back to normal under Biden. In fact, right. They got even crazier. And yeah. So now they kind of lost their ability to be like, no, everything is normal. And then this guy fucked it all up. Now it's kind of like this feels more like a return to normal than having like a senile president. So it's
but why can't we just have a president that wants to be like not extreme on either side? Like just fucking.
I don't know. Why can't I have a podcast co-host like that? Because that's not in the cards, Lewis, because that wasn't God didn't offer that to us. It was Kamala Harris or Donald Trump. Just so fucking, be grateful.
Just get a normal human being to do normal human being shit. We know what it
turns
is.
Out,
we all know
turns
what normal
out,
human beings
we don't
are.
Have any. We don't have it. We checked the whole country. Not a one.
Doesn't exist.
Wild. Just wild. Anyway, politics are gay. You're right, John Popek. I'm sorry. I apologize. Let's move on.
Politics are so good.
Let's move on, Popek.
It's almost time to wrap this son bitch up.
People always say I insert politics, but let the record show.
I did. That was me. Oh, I thought the Elon thing was interesting.
No, it was. I thought it was all good.
That's so funny. The first time I saw that video, I was like, dude, they took, because I remember I always had that thing. I told you when Christine stopped me a couple years back when the guy from the Korean boy band, when they were giving thanks for winning an award or something, he was just waving by, but you know, it was just out like that. And I wrote a hair Hitler, and she was like, don't. Don't do that. It's good. So I mean, I always assume it's just something like that. I'm like, that kid wasn't hailing Hitler. You know what I mean? He was like, so I was like, I assume that was just a screen pull, but it is hilariously worse. It's just
like, it was AI. More than when I first saw it, I was like, oh, it's AI, obviously. Duh. And then like, it's literally not. And by the way, I don't even, I'm not going like, oh, he was definitely hailing Hitler. I'm just saying it was, you have to be aware if you're that powerful and they're having you speak at the inauguration, if you're that much of a retard, you're not aware that that's going to just make just in one fucking motion divide everybody and have people fucking back at each other's throats. Like, that's not what I was hopeful that Trump was going to be like, yo, like, let me make my legacy that I'm actually the dopest fucking president. And I'm going to bring everyone together and lower taxes and give everyone jobs. And like,
well, that. Hopefully it still is, you know,
I hope so too.
Trump didn't do it, you know, but like, I get your point. It was a very weird gesture to make. And I don't know. I honestly don't know. Like, maybe he was just trolling. Maybe he was just like almost like setting a trap, like being like, oh, they're going to run with this and then they'll be no one will give a shit. And you know what I mean? I really don't know.
Faggots.
But anyway, I'm waiting on orders, Mr. Musk. If we're doing the Nazi thing, just let me know.
Yeah.
Well, boys, always a fucking pleasure hanging out. And
Monday's a big one. It's already sold out.
Yeah. Monday
Hell
we
yeah.
have Kumia, Jim Norton, Ari Shaffir.
Yep.
That is a good one right there. We hope you guys will join us for that. And until next time, everybody, peace.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
Did you suck it? I think I would instinctually suck it.
Thick with three C's.
Who else we fucking over, Lewis?
Lewis Gomez.
Lewis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
Lewis J. Gomez.
If you're trying to watch a retard draw a swastika, it's hilarious.
I'm sort of known as a point guard of podcasting. Being a fat gay guy is so fucking awesome.
And comedian Dave Smith.
You fucking godless, soulless sodomites.
It's the fucking best joke I've ever heard in my life.
It was 8 inches.
The Legion of Skanks podcast.